Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 22 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois, and Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, a production of Illinois Public Medium. Find us online at willag.org. Follow me on Twitter at Commodity Week. Let's begin with our normal question. I'll start with you, Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. What's on your list of topics to discuss for the day?
Anything but grain markets.
I will put you down in that case, the grain stocks report. How about that?
We might want to talk about where things may be going, lows, and what might be around to push us up, for rallies.
Gotcha. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing.
Well, I do think next week's stocks and acreage report, and also I think the next couple of weeks' weather and certainly the July weather uncertainty is still out there.
And Joe Vaklovic.
Yeah, the weather's the name of the game here. That's the reason why the market's been under pressure this week. When it's the beginning of summer and you've got a non-threatening forecast, a really pretty favorable forecast for the Corn Belt, this is exactly what you get. Now, I still have a lot of questions regarding the crop, regarding the poor start that a lot of the eastern Corn Belt had in particular. We also had some poor conditions in some of the fringe areas, if you want to call them that, like Dakotas, some other areas in the north. So I still think there's some issues out there. They just may not be issues that we might not find out about until harvest.
So are those issues big enough to cause much of a problem, or are we looking at a normal trend line crop year at this point, do you think, Joe?
Well, it's really a yield debate question, and I know everyone wants to debate yield, and it's probably too early to do that. I mean, I guess my personal thought on the situation is that I don't think the top end's out there in the eastern Corn Belt. I don't think the top end's out there in some areas of the western Corn Belt. I really don't see a scenario where we hit that 174, 175 again. I suppose I could see a scenario where we hit the USDA number, something at 170. I think that would be a monumental achievement at this point, given what we've seen. So I guess that the yield argument leads me to be maybe a little friendly to market, but the problem is the weather's good now, and maybe it's something you just don't figure out till later on. And we've seen years like that in the past.
How much of a weather problem would have to develop at this point, do you think, for the market to take note? So I'm sure farmers have old crop corn that they'd like to sell. They'd like to market maybe soybeans and new crop corn at a much higher price. They always would. That'll take some weather movement. Are there potentials for rally, and how much really do you have to have in the weather in the way of condition changes that'll make that move, do you think?
You've got to get the trade to a point where it believes that the yield's in jeopardy, and whatever kind of weather that takes, that's what it is. So you've got to get to the point where the trade thinks that something sub, say 165 nationally is in the cards, and that's when you get your reaction. Is it too late for it? No, it's not. I mean, we could very easily shift to a drier pattern here over the next couple of weeks. I mean, for the moment, it's not looking that way, but it's certainly still possible.
Chip Nellinger, this is in your ballpark. You want to talk about July weather. We'd have to have some pretty tough conditions, I think, to move the marketplace. What do you see?
Yeah, I totally agree with Joe. I think at this point, the 170 0.7 yield that the USDA has plugged in for trendline would be a real stretch. We have to understand a lot of this corn, millions and millions of acres, went in late, so we're going to be late pollinating. Last half of July, there's going to be a lot of corn pollinating. So there's still several weeks that could affect this corn crop. And I also agree with Joe from the standpoint that, we could just limp along, get enough rain. The market thinks that there's a crop out there, and we find out, at harvest time that it wasn't as big as expected. I don't think this is a repeat of last year. Everyone's still got last year in their mind and is fearful of just the complete bottom falling out of this thing and, going 60, 80 cents lower. I don't see that at this point. If it stays perfect from here on out, there could be some more downside, but we're far from at the finish line, and there's still plenty of weather to get through before we have a big crop, and there's still plenty of yield potential could be sucked out of this thing, whether that is, you know, a dry, hot period at pollination, or it turns off, you know, hot and dry into the last half of July and all of August to affect grain fill. There's a long way to go. This is a marathon, and we're just about the first lap into a marathon race here.
So we're starting this year from a much lower high place than we started from last year in June. What do you think the downside risk is for corn?
Well, I think that you could easily you know, push corn down into the 360s in the short run here, the next 3-4 weeks. I think extending it beyond that would be a real stretch here for a while. I still think the key to this, though, may be the September crop report. The big thing that pushed us well over the 170 yield mark last year, in my opinion, was essentially record population. We don't have that this year, and we'll know that and shake the market up a little bit, I think, on that September report when we find the ear count numbers out there are going to be well under a year ago, in my opinion.
Merrill Crowley, you wanted to talk about what the lows might be as well. Where do you think those might be, and have you been looking at the technical side?
On the technical side of it, just like Chip said, 360, 365 is your first support level. And if we can hold in that area, actually, I'd like to see the market hold right here at 380. If we can hold here, it looks like we have the initial wave up, and prices could go up in the $4 range still, possibly as high as 478. Is what it's looking now. But yeah, 60, 65 is our first support. And then if we have a great crop and we have more bushels and people are looking at, you could go revisit the 315, 314 area down there. But that's a long ways off. There's a lot of unknowns yet. First unknown, of course, is coming up next week with our stocks and our acreage. You know, that tends to be a surprising area. We were talking about weather. A guy I listened to, Todd, has been talking about a 20 to 21 day cycle. That cycle comes off cool at the end or first July 1st. Then it cycles back into a warm. Now, whether it's going to be hot and warm, we get the flash drought again, that's questionable. But just as Chip pointed out, I think 50% of the crop is going to be pollinated July 10th through the 20th. So the rest of it's going to pollinate after that day. So, you know, July is going to be real critical. You're supposed to have the warm weather come back. That's just not going to help things finish off. And I can't remember which guy was talking about. It'd be the September report. I'm not sure we're going to see it in the September report. You know, I really think you're going to need some yield with it. And we have late crops, but the crops look better in the southern areas right now. And as long as they stay better in the southern areas, you're not really going to see a report tell you anything of importance, I don't think, until the October report.
Right. So it was Chip Nellinger who was talking about that. One of the things I was thinking about that crossed my mind, Chip, when you mentioned the ear counts, there will be population counts in the crop production reports and in all of the reports starting in August, and that may be a pretty good indication of how much is actually out there in terms of plants per acre. Right. Well, certainly be a good indication. We can look forward to that in the month of August, along with a quick assessment from USDA as to what the crop size might be. There is time, a lot of time left at this point. Producers probably are wondering, though, Chip, whether they have missed the boat or not. Do you think there's another rally left without a weather scare of any sort or very much of one?
Well, I do. I think it goes back to where we're at on the calendar. Have we missed the high? Have we seen the high? I don't know. I kind of doubt that, but I suppose if it stayed just perfect weather, didn't get hot, and we got an inch of rain everywhere every other week, it's possible. But I do think there'll be opportunities down the road. We still have good demand. I think you also have to take that from such an individual standpoint. If you're in the Eastern Corn Belt and you're really hurt by the wet early weather and poor stands and replant issues, and you think you're already, under where your crop insurance is going to kick in, there's no need to be worried about selling here. You're under where crop insurance gives you a put anyway, especially if you feel you have yield loss. If you're in the Western Corn Belt and in the middle of Iowa, and you think it's the best crop you've ever had at this point in time, that's a different scenario. So I think that goes by case scenario. Bottom line, I think you're going to have opportunities at better levels than you're at today, even if you go 20 cents lower in the short run. And then it comes down to storage. I think if you can store your crop, there's good carry in this market, and the best opportunities might not come till next spring if that's within your individual plan to hold grain that long.
Joe Vaklevic, some of the rest of the marketplace, and I'm thinking of wheat in particular, was a space that many were hanging their hats on some hopes that it might be able to lift the rest of the grains. That hasn't really changed, I don't think, this week from last week. Where does that market stand?
Well, the wheat market's held together really well. I mean, it's obviously being led by the spring wheat market, and the crop problems in the Dakotas and the Northern Plains have been very well documented. Crop conditions to continue to deteriorate, so you can't put a lid on that market. Now, the Kansas City and Chicago markets, I don't know necessarily have fundamentals that are necessarily that strong or strong at all, but I think it is encouraging to see that something within the grain complex is able to rally into some multi-month, multi-year highs in the case of the spring wheat market. So I'd say it's encouraging, but as has been evident this week, it has not helped the corn market at all. The corn market's, what, almost a good 30 cents off of those highs from just a couple weeks ago now. So you're not seeing the relationship yet, but I do think it's a positive thing, big picture, if we're able to put some lows in the wheat market. And I would probably venture to say at this point that those lows that we saw, you know, south of $4 in both Chicago and Kansas City wheat, I think those are some long-term lows. I don't think we see those again for a while.
Would you agree with that, Merrill Crowley?
I think your lows in the wheat are probably in. Of course, that just depends on how the crop moves further. We're seeing supply risk in the U.S. here, Canada, Australia, Europe, Black Sea. And the main focus right now is on tight protein supplies. And it seems like if you're looking for quality wheat, the U.S. is where they're going to have to come to. So I think, I guess I just have to agree with it.
So transition for me, Merrill, to the soybeans and the trade on Thursday, down 14 cents. It doesn't look like it will rally. It would have to rally, what, 35 cents on Friday or something along those lines to post an outside up week. So this looks like it's an outside down week. How damaging will that be?
Well, I could just completely do away with the weekly and just say we've closed below 940, which was a big support level for a long time, and it tried to push above it with the dryness, couldn't manage to stay above it, and has pushed back down, and you can see the effect the market has once we drop below that. Now, the one thing that seems to be clear to me in the bean market is it looks like we have one move down, and I hate to say it, but I think it could go to 888, but that's only, you know, 25 cents away. And once we do that, it looks to me like we have a technical pattern that says the downside is over until we get a fairly significant rally. Significant rally would be somewhere up into the 11s, maybe the 12s. And what's going to cause that at this time, I really can't tell you, but we do have the August weather. Beans are behind this 20-day cycle I was talking about. Turns cold the first week of September. And, you know, Dan's been talking about the possibility of an early frost, and that would seem to kind of work together if that were to occur.
Are there any of the outside markets, and I'm thinking of crude oil in particular, that is putting pressure on commodities in general or not? And Chip, we can look back to the 15-16 winter when we dropped crude down into that $26, $27, $28 range, $42 or thereabouts, but we're still $10 off the high, a bit more than that maybe at this time from earlier in the year. Is that putting pressure on the marketplace, and do you see relief from it at any point?
Well, I don't think that's helping at all by any stretch, but it does seem like there's a lot of commodity markets in general that are somewhat correlated right now. You know, today in particular, you had a lot of these, you know, soft markets. Coffee in particular got hit pretty hard. Cotton got beat up. So it just seems like right now we go through these cycles at times where, you know, some big outside money kind of moves their allocations around. Right now, commodities are just a little bit out of favor. Including crude oil, even though we bounced a little bit today. So I think we're a little bit all correlated and tied at the hip right now. How long that lasts, I don't know. The dollar, you know, is showing signs that maybe it's tried to bottom temporarily. But I do think longer term, we probably could argue that that's the last of the of the interest rate increases we're going to see from the Federal Reserve for a while. So I think that there's not anything that's dramatically affecting us right now, but commodity space in general seems to be kind of out of favor right now for whatever reason.
Joe Vaclavic, what do you think the United States Department of Agriculture next week will show on the June 30 acreage report?
I do not expect a big corn acreage drop as some people do. I just feel like the USDA doesn't pick up these prevent plant acres in a lot of situations. And I kind of think that that 90 million number was low to begin with. So I wouldn't be surprised if they stuck with something really close to 90 million, maybe it dropped down to 89.5. I'm not in that camp that believes we're going to see a 1 or 2 million acre loss. The bean number could be a little bit higher, maybe more beans in the Southern Plains where they had some problems with the wheat. Maybe just more beans in general. But, you know, on the flip side of that, the one counter argument is that the soybean market really fell off a cliff after those surveys were taken in March. So is that something that steers us the other way? That's why this acreage thing is so difficult to predict this year, because there's a lot of moving parts more so than in a normal year. So I guess in the corn acreage, no, I don't think we're going too far from 90. Bean acreage may be a little bit more of a wild card.
So you're suggesting 500,000 acre shift in either of them? Corn down and soybeans up?
That's probably what I would go with if I had to guess, yes.
Merrill Crowley, you?
At the maximum, I think maybe 1 million acres of corn comes off. Beans could pick up 1 to maybe 2 million, some of it coming from the wheat. But I really don't think we've seen that much of a switch in acres or that many abandoned acres that we have to deal with this year.
And from Blue Reef Agri Marketing, what are your numbers, Chip?
I think we could see 300,000 to 400,000 less corn acres, 500,000 to 600,000 more bean acres. If anybody's listening in Washington, they should do away with the acreage report, redefine it, wait till we have better numbers from crop insurance, because it seems like every year we have the struggle and the issues, and we get more questions than answers after the June acreage report. The process doesn't take into account the prevent plant acres in the late springs, like Joe mentioned. It's a little bit irrelevant of a report, but I do think a little bit less corn, a little more beans. And the real wild card is it's impossible for anyone to predict very well what the quarterly stocks are, and that could always be a wild card as well.
Yeah, so that wild card normally is put right there on the feed and residual number, and that's the figure that you have to work with. Have you been tinkering with that number at all, Chip, and do you have an idea of where that will end up putting the stocks?
Yeah, well, that's that's always the big question mark there is the feed residual. The ethanol numbers have been on pace. You could argue that maybe we're even a touch light, or that the USA could increase the ethanol numbers just a touch. The export numbers, even though the export sales today weren't great, are pretty decent. So I think we're on pace. We'll just have to see on that feed residual. I'm hoping that we don't have one of the great scratch our heads and, find where they picked up 200 million acres. But I think everything we've seen so far would lead you to believe the demand's pretty good on corn and, should come in at and hopefully a touch under what the estimates are on that quarterly stocks number on corn.
We're running, 98% of USDA's target right now, and last year we were at 96, so there was a little bit more corn to come off on your export side of it. Not really sure if we're going to see the ethanol move up. It could. I can understand what Chip's talking about there. The thing I guess I'm looking at is we actually saw cattle weights increase a slight amount when we went through the hot, dry time period, so... And where else are you going to do with your corn right now if you don't try to feed it to your livestock and make money with it? So if anything, I guess I look for maybe 150, 200 million maybe to come off the stocks report for corn.
And would that push the market at all, or is that within the range and within reason?
We got to take probably 500 to 600 million off our ending stocks to really get this market excited at the very least.
Joe Vaclavic, I want to come back to the soybeans and turn your attention to South America. It's said that the producers there have not sold as quickly as they have in past years. Will that come back to haunt the market at some point? And why is it not playing into the market at this point?
Well, I've heard that story, and I've heard that that is part of the reason why our export demand has been a little bit better recently, perhaps. So, yeah, it's something that could kind of drag out the negative impact on our export demand if it ever happens. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting deal. You know, they're going to continue expansion in terms of acreage and production in all likelihood in South America. So as long as they have good crops, it's going to be a continual bearish force. I did want to touch on ownership in the bean market, which I think is very, very interesting right now. Farmers in the U.S., the way I see it, own next to nothing in terms of old crop beans. I think there are very few farmer-owned old crop beans out there. I also think that the farmer did a pretty decent job with new crop beans so far. It sounds to me like a pretty substantial portion of new crop production was priced at better levels, you know, maybe 20 to 30% as much as that high of new crop production has been priced in beans. So I'm not seeing much incentive for the U.S. farmer to sell beans here. You've also got funds record short. So we've got a lot of bets against this market. And I don't see the farmer selling coming into it. One, because they sold some new crop bushels. Two, because you got a nice spring insurance guarantee this year.
You don't think they should be doing anything at this point except standing pat?
I don't see the incentive, no. I mean, if you got 85% coverage, you sold 20% of the crop. No, that the crop insurance is not a perfect hedge, but it is going to provide you a put underneath the market, depending on the scenario and what you bought and where your yields come in. So you've got very limited incentive here. I don't see any farmers running to sell $9.13 November beans today, and it's because I think they're in a little bit stronger hands than maybe they had been.
Have you talked to producers across the Midwest, and what are they telling you about their soybean crop and what it looks like?
That it's too early to tell. I mean, it's variable. I think there are good spots. There's bad spots. It's just it's way too early. It's too early for me to even talk about corn yields, much less soybean yields.
Chip Nellinger, what else is on the list of things that we ought to take up yet for the day? What have you been watching in particular, or have you had conversations with your clientele about?
Yeah, well, I'd agree with Joe on the beans. It's just too early to tell. It's hard to peg those yet, but there's a lot of late beans out there, and we've got a long, long time frame on those. Same thing on corn. There's lots of variability out there on corn. So, you know, I know after today's action, a lot of producers are scratching their heads, and exactly what you said earlier, have we seen the highs? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a waiting game. It's going to test our patience. It's going to be a bumpy emotional ride, but I think there's better opportunities to come here. However, I think the next 2-3 weeks, you know, next week, the week of the 4th, and the week after the 4th are going to be pretty critical from that long range forecast perspective. If it stays cool and plenty of rain, they're going to keep the pressure on this thing, but that's a tall order. And if you'd happen to see a trend, like Merrill said, back to hotter, drier, they'll add a bunch of premium right back in this market. So that's going to be an emotional ride. So we have to kind of fasten our seatbelts and get mentally prepared. They're going to have to make some tough decisions here. And we got to have our finger on the trigger to make those sales on the next rally. And that's going to be hard because the next rally is going to mean it's hot and dry. So, you know, there's some different marketing tools out there and advice from, people like us. Find somebody to help you because there's going to be opportunities, but it's not going to be easy.
Are you talking about old crop corn, new crop corn, or both?
Well, for sure, new crop. Old crop corn, we're getting, down towards the wire on that. And there's a lot of July basis contracts left. That part of this weakness may be some producers cleaning up some, just kind of throwing the towel in on some old crop July basis contracts. They'll have to do that by the end of next week anyway. So certainly on old crop, we got a much shorter window. But new crop, I really do think that it's a potential that we don't see the best marketing opportunities till post-harvest on into next winter and spring. And so, you know, that's great if you have storage and you can take advantage of the carry in the market. But that means that's a different plan if you have to sell it all at fall and you need, you know, there's still ways to have ownership. So I think new crop corn, plenty of time, no need to panic. For sure, old crop corn, our window is shrinking, and we need to be ready to sell that the next bounce, even if it's only half or two-thirds of the way back to the highs.
Well, from what I get from talking to my guys, is probably the most variable is the corn. The beans look really good. Yes, they're very short. And, you know, in the last week, we got, 8.5 inches of rain, and those fields that really got hammered, yes, they have problems. But that's not a huge area that we're really talking about here, so I don't think the overall effect is that bad with the actual crop size. So I think the beans have the best chance if they get the time, and that's the issue here, is whether we'll have the time with the cool snap maybe coming back in on September 1st.
All right, so let's kind of start to think about wrapping this up. I think I'll start with you from Standard Grain, Joe Vaklevic. What's your final thought for the day?
I'll talk about the corn market. I think that despite what looks like a pretty favorable weather outlook moving forward, I don't think things are going to be quite as bearish as they were a year ago. Acreage is down significantly. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the yield is going to be down versus last year. I think ending stocks will be down versus last year. We've got a U.S. dollar that's about unchanged versus last year. You know, all winter, this past winter and into the spring, the corn market traded a range of, what, 360 up to about 380, 385. I mean, I'm not seeing the downside risk in this market as being super substantial at this point. You know, if on some off chance we pull another 175 yield out of the hat, then things change. But I'm not in that camp. I think this is a weather sell-off we saw here this week, but I'm not seeing the risk as being substantial. So I'm hoping that the best new crop corn marketing opportunities are ahead of us. The old crop thing, we're running awfully short on time here.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing.
Yeah, I'd agree totally with what Joe just said. In my opinion, we're at a 168 national yield maximum. We could shave that by 5 to 10 bushels very easily. So I agree with everything Joe said. On the beans here, I'll just add on to something Joe said earlier, because I agree. I think producers do have a lot of sales made from higher levels, some well above 10 bucks. This weakness that you're seeing right now might not be a bad opportunity to step out, take a stab at attaching some calls to those early sales, and that's going to give you more confidence on the next rally to keep selling into that and still have ownership on paper from these lower levels. So I think the beans are offering an opportunity here, but it's not for sales. It's maybe for buying some call coverage against those sales from higher levels.
And Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities.
I have to agree with what they're saying. The thing that gets me is, you know, we've got a lot of farmers out here. They're in a tight fiscal situation. And I guess I have somewhat of a problem of just running out here and buying calls until the market gives me a better reason to buy calls. And, yes, I know they'll cost a little more if that happens. But I really think you've got to be concerned with the downside until this market proves otherwise.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. You can listen to the whole of our program there anytime you'd like. Our thanks go this week to our panelists, including Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watsika, Illinois, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing from Morton, Illinois, and Joe Vaklevic of Standard Grain. He's from Chicago, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.